Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on April 13th, almost 14th, April 13th, 2022. And it's a pleasure to have you here today. If you're listening in the archives, you're always welcome here anytime. That's the beauty of podcasting. And today we got a good show with dear friends of ours, AESA, the Association of Educational Service Agencies. We've got Dr. Joan Wade, who is their one of the great ladies of education, okay, and is their executive director. And we've got Jeremy Kovash, who's on their executive council of the AESA, and it's AESA.us. We're going to talk about this in detail, okay? He's on their executive council, but he is also, he's got the word executive a lot. He's the executive director of the Lakes Country Service Cooperative in West Central Minnesota. All right, and again, he sits on the executive council for AESA, and we're going to talk about how he's working with schools these days, particularly with mental health and that sort of stuff. That's just something that's taken over schools these days. All right, it's important that we talk about it. So we'll get a feel for AESA and Jeremy on the show. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. That's our website for equity and access, the home website of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. We're doing a lot of work now on teacher retention. We put up an icon on it. Superintendent and all kinds of educator retention. There's a horrible educator shortage out there. We want to do everything we can to stop that, put a cork in that, all right, and make sure people stay in their jobs and enjoy their jobs, etc. So teacher retention is up there as an icon. SELtoday.org, our SEL site, is up there as an icon. All of our podcasts are over there. Okay, and our magazine, of course, Equity and Access, the cover is right up there. Okay, it's all about SEL and equity. You can click on that, read a great magazine. It's all online at ace-ed.org. And I hope you do all that. That's your homework assignment for today. Go over to ace-ed.org and see what we're doing. And on that note, the person who always did her homework and got it in right on time in school, the one and only Joan Wade. Hi, Joan.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be back with you.
We love having you on the show, Joan. We really do. We love the good work you do at AESA. And is that true that you always got your homework in on time?
I was pretty darn good at getting my homework in on time. You know, I was one that liked school, and so I was pretty high expectations for myself.
There you go. So, and now to somebody who never got his homework in on time, Jeremy Kovash. Jeremy.
How did you know, Larry?
I do. I know.
Great to be here.
Jeremy, it's on your permanent record, which we have access to. That was a joke. Okay. And by the way, everybody, there's no such thing as a permanent record. That's something that principal's made up just to scare you. Okay? And it's Jeremy, it's great to have you here. And before we go any further, is it Lakes Country or Lakes County Service Cooperative?
It's Lakes Country. It's Lakes Country, Larry. Thank you. Yeah, we work with specifically with 9 counties in West Central Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. And the specific county that we reside in, our main office has over 1,000 lakes in our county. But
wow.
We are Lakes Country. We're in the Lakes Country part of West Central Minnesota.
That must be beautiful. It must be beautiful.
Well, not today, but yes.
Oh, what's going on today? What's the matter? What's happening today? What's the matter?
We got a little cold and snow and a blizzard coming tonight, I think. It's fantastic.
You got a blizzard coming tonight? Let me read this again. It's April 13th. Are you really getting the blizzard? I should be surprised. I live in Maine, but this is really not good news for Minnesota. Okay?
No.
Yeah, wow. And by the way, I love your accent. And don't say what accent. You have one. Okay.
Thank you. Yours as well.
Thank you, my friends. I appreciate that. What accent? We'll move right on from there. Joan, tell us about AESA. ESA's Educational Service Agencies, to me, are just vital. They're hidden. They need a trumpet. I love working with them. Tell us about it, Joan. What do you guys do?
Yeah.
So everybody
knows.
Thank
you, Larry.
You're
yeah,
welcome.
Thank you, Larry. for that. AESA supports the educational service agencies across the country, and educational service agencies go by about 21 different names. So depending on what state you are in, it might be a cooperative like Jeremy in Minnesota. They have cooperatives. Arkansas has cooperatives. Some states have county education offices. Some states have CESAs, BOCES, RESAs, a host of names. But what they do is very similar in the aspect that they meet the needs that school districts have in their region. So they serve a region of the state, and they have a diverse portfolio of services. So some might have teacher recruitment and retention as a main part of what they do, professional development, special education, technology support services. The list goes on and on across the country. But what they really try to strive to do is make equitable services available to all school districts within their region. So it doesn't matter what school district a student relies on, that a student is in, they will be able to get good, high-quality services from their regional educational service agency. And that's why I really wanted to bring Jeremy on with you today to have people listen to what kind of work he's doing at Lakes Country Cooperative. He's got a lot of things going around the mental health area in schools, and such a need, especially in rural parts of our country where they don't have access to those kind of programs. So I'm excited to have Jeremy talk about that this morning.
It is, and I'll bring up our mutual friend, E-Therapy. Okay, I met the folks at E-Therapy through you, and hopefully they can, you know, they're just one of the companies that can really help, and I don't mind bringing that up to tell people right off the bat. I know they work with you guys over at AESA. Okay, it's just incredible. And, you know, Jeremy, I was reading an article in the New York Times yesterday about a woman whose job is to gather up the homeless kids and make sure they get to school. She works about 30 miles outside of Austin, Texas. Okay, and the article went on to say how schools have become the, well, they always were in a way, the multi-lifeblood, the multi-support system, all right, of every community, okay, especially with the pandemic. You know, when we all became teachers, only a few of us became school counselors, and we weren't all involved. The whole school wasn't involved in mental health and this sort of problem. That has changed over the years, all right? And it's just astounding the way everything has changed. So tell us about Lake, and thank you, Joan, by the way, for all that. You know, the work you guys do is incredible, okay, at AESA.us. Everybody should know about the ed service agencies in their area. Jeremy, tell us all about Lakes Country.
Yeah, you know, not unlike, Larry, you mentioned that article, and you know, that's not unique, of course, to Lakes Country, but all of my colleagues across the country, you know, school districts started, as we know, as primary schools, and then we transformed to K-12, but in very short order. I mean, I think when I got into education, began my career in 1995, you know, I think we were known as K-12 institutions. And in very short order, we went pre-K-12, and then pre-K-16, and now we refer to ourselves in Minnesota, and I think across our great nation, as birth to 16 or birth to 20, right? Cradle to grave,
amazing.
Darn near.
You're right. So, You're right. Right.
And those, the great part about that is schools are well positioned to provide services. The challenges are financial and beyond, but we take that task very seriously in our region, and the state, and with AESA, that our job is to provide those opportunities for children, and by children, from birth to 20, of those opportunities that, you know, if they have those opportunities in New York City or Minneapolis or a wealthy suburb, we need to provide those in rural areas as well. And really, all students need access to quality education.
Joan summed it up, and she said, you know, your job is to provide equitable education, okay, to every student, okay? And how this country got into education by zip code is beyond me. I don't know whether I'll ever be able to figure that one out or why it stayed that way, okay? It's not good, and you folks do a great job. And actually, just talk about that. Just do Lakes Country. List down, Jeremy, if you can, just all the categories that you work with your school districts in. And we only have about another 30 minutes for the show. I'll give you a hint, like transportation, like special ed. What are the categories you provide? Group purchasing, if I may, group action. Go ahead.
Sure. So, you know, certainly our hallmark, we were created to do education. Education, special education, so professional development, teacher development. That work in education is specifically low-incidence special education, so deaf, blind, hard of hearing, autism would be in that spectrum. We've done work in those two areas since our inception in the early 1970s and right along with the inception of AESA. So very proud of that. We call that our hallmark services. Those have sprung into alternative education. So we have an alternative school, and most recently for our most needy special education students with both physical and mental health, we've begun setting four special education school districts or schools within our region. So that's education wonderful. Certainly our hallmark with education and special education. We do procurement, as you're aware. We partner with many, many entities, including AESA, AEPA, which is the Association of Educational Purchasing Agencies, and then certainly our great vendors and sponsors of educational procurement in the country. We do health and safety work specifically in Minnesota, so we ensure that our schools are safe for children. So pre-OSHA inspections, employee right to know, bloodborne pathogens. Every once in a blue moon, we find a mercury type of situation in the school. Yeah. I think lead in paint and water are very hot topics right now. Uniquely, we find that some of our communities and state agencies have higher requirements for lead in city water than they might in school districts, so we're working through that in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
That's unique. So, we're lead, and so again, those health and safety type of programs. We do a lot with both community and employee wellness. So there, we do get into mental health, which I know we'll talk about today.
Yes, we will.
You know, there's certainly physical health, physical wealth, financial health. But certainly mental health is an important piece of what we do. We provide insurance, pooled insurance programs, insurance and wellness again. So we provide group health, life, long-term disability, vision and dental insurance. And then technology is a big piece for us. And there you get into very, very much we get into equity and broadband. The pandemic taught us a lot of lessons about technology in our region and beyond. Frankly, and really the inadequacies and inequities in technology and broadband service.
We have been screaming about that, and it came to light with the pandemic, but we've been screaming about that here for years. It's unbelievable. We're all about this access to education. Can't do without broadband. Okay, it's unbelievable. And to do all this, Jeremy, if I may, I know you probably have a staff of like 400 people.
No, we have about 150. So
yeah, I'm only kidding.
They get it done. We have a fantastic staff, and they
you must.
They're here to serve every day. You know, service is in our name, and we believe very strongly in serving our communities, which include our school districts.
And I have to ask this. I don't know if I've ever asked this before. How many school districts do you work with? First of all,
you know, 35 public, and then we have some charter and non-public.
Nice. Okay, so let's say 40, just for the heck of it. Okay, do the teachers, okay, in those districts? I don't know about this. Do they know you exist?
You know, that's funny. We call ourselves service superheroes. Sometimes,
and I believe you are.
The answer is yes, Larry. They do. But sometimes we're a little bit behind the scenes. We want our school superintendents, our school leaders, our school boards, our teachers, we want them in the limelight, not us. So we don't advertise
nicely
ourselves
said.
Very well. We want teachers to be community heroes.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll tell you, the reason I asked that question is I've worked with Joan for so long and all the ESAs, et cetera. I know the great job they do across the country. And I always say it's the great hidden part of education. Okay, it's kind of the behind-the-scenes thing. And a lot of people don't know that they exist, and that's why I always love talking about it, and your group is just fantastic. And I was, you know, when I said we only have a half hour to do the show to list all the things you do, I mean, really, ESAs are just such an integral part, okay, of schools, and I just like to yell that out to the world all the time. I really do. Joan, there you go. AESA.us. Okay, that's all I can tell you.
We have great members doing wonderful work, and the more we can talk about it, the better it is.
Absolutely. I want school districts to be very well aware of the work you're doing. Let's talk about mental health. Who knew, okay, when we all started in this, that mental health would be such a big thing, social, emotional learning, all those sort of things. What are you doing with all that, Jeremy? How's it working out for those 35 school districts? What do you provide for them?
Well, I think, Larry, first of all, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention partnerships. And frankly, you know, I'll be very blunt. I think prior to the pandemic, everyone was a little bit out on an island. We certainly provided some professional development. We had some programs that we worked with our schools. We've done some programming. We certainly talked about it. But until the pandemic, when we started working very much more closely with, you know, Minnesota state agencies in our case,
yep.
County agencies, and higher ed, although we've always worked well with higher ed, we started to really put those resources together. And I think, frankly, the pandemic forced us to do that. So that's a outcome of the pandemic that we're very proud of, our work with again, state agencies, county agencies, and higher ed to provide mental health services to our school employees and most importantly, our students.
Well said, my friend. One of the good things to come out of a rotten pandemic, okay, was just it brought a lot of challenges to the forefront. People leaked on to try to cure those challenges. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I'd love to talk to you more about what you're doing with higher ed. But talk about the mental health side. What are you doing with them?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, we've had a program here for a long time. We started before the pandemic. And we believe that healthy districts need healthy leaders. So our school superintendents, they meet monthly, sometimes a little more virtually now than we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we typically have a retreat annually, and we've really focused on school leader mental health. That has certainly since the pandemic. And so we've done a series of training of studies. We've worked with certainly the Brené Brown work has been very key to our work together.
I know her work very well. And she actually is a good friend of one of my best friend's sons named Kirk Goldsberry. That's interesting you would bring her up. She quotes Kirk a lot. That's interesting. Thank you. I can say that on the air. Never do. Yeah.
Well, that's good. No, she provides, I think, a great framework for discussion, for seeking. And we've really certainly focused on engagement, empowering, and excelling. And so we do that both with our teachers and our staff and our students. And then we've got some new programs going. You know, some of the, again, pandemic dollars, if you will, we are partnering with the Minnesota Department of Health to build what we've had for many years called a regional crisis response team. And we're going to build that up and make it a regional crisis response team of superheroes that work with our school districts. And they have typically been a volunteer organization. They've always been a volunteer organization. I'll just kind of give you an example of how it works.
Go ahead.
We had an unfortunate death of a young person, died by suicide.
Yeah.
And this particular young person lived in a very small community of about 2,000 people, which probably meant about 800 students. This particular student, she was a very, very close friend of the school superintendent in that community. And that superintendent called me on the morning of this death by suicide, and he was obviously emotional and said, "Jeremy, I need help." He said, "I'm supposed to talk to my students and my staff, and I don't know if I can do it." And just by luck, I picked up the phone. I called some of the school districts around and said, "We need some help in this small town. We need help with media. You know, the newspaper is going to be knocking on my friend Dan's door, who is the superintendent there and still is. We need help with guidance counselors. We need help with all sorts of support. So we started what was called a regional crisis response team to respond to these things. And to student deaths or student trauma or, you know, some unfortunate type of, you know, a bus accident or something. And it's a volunteer network that goes around of experts, and we do training with that group, and they provide those services for school districts in times of need. So that's a program we're very powerful, and we just received a grant from the Minnesota Department of Health to, like I said, kind of grow that program into real well-trained group of experts. So we're very excited about that work, and that will begin this summer.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful. I really do, and I just hope I want to say that's wonderful, and I also want to say I hope you never have to use those people again. Okay? I want to say it that way. Okay? I love these.
That's absolutely the goal. Yep.
Yeah. You know, is it just get rid of it? And, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Anytime something terrible like this happens to in a school district, you always read in the paper, grief counselors will be available to the students and community. And I often wonder, who are these grief counselors? Who are these people who are on standby for this? And what you just explained is exactly, it's these regional networks of crises response people who just really are there when you need them. I think it's great that you put that together, and I hope your friend in that school district are doing well. How are they doing? It's a terrible thing, teen suicide or kid suicide.
Yeah, they're doing well. You know, unfortunately, in our region, that group gets called probably 3 or 4 times a year for either an accident or or some kind of a death. And again, they're there for each other. They help build resilience, and they help those students in a time of need. And again, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the county has now partnered with us as well. So
sure.
You get county services, mental health providers, and they've just been fantastic. Again, all volunteers, people that might leave their, you know, school counselor that might leave their, or a social worker that might leave their home on a Saturday to go to a funeral to provide a breakout room for young people. Just awesome stuff.
Well, it really, really is awesome stuff, and I can't say enough for this. Are you familiar with something called the Cook Center?
I'm not.
Check that out. Please do. It's cookcenter.org. Okay? And they are experts in dealing with child suicide and a child birth to 20. Okay? And they're experts in this. They provide a lot of free services to school districts. It's cookcenter.org. Just wonderful people. Okay? Who have a tough job. Okay? So just for whatever that's worth, check it out. That's an extreme, I don't want to make light of it, that's an extreme example, okay, of what happens, and it happens far too often. What about what's going on today post-pandemically, mental health, Joan brought it up before. You know, we talk about mental health, and you talk about your friends who are superintendents who need to get rejuvenated with this and get together, et cetera. The mental health aspect, okay, the frustration aspect, it's all building up out there, okay? I read articles about a lot more road rage, okay, than ever. Things are building up, and kids are not isolated from this, all right? Now, there's been shootings at schools, as we know, and all that sort of thing. Talk about just generic mental health. If I may, and I'm going to start at the top a lot of it has to do with teacher retention. I have to say, in your 35 districts, we can't afford to lose teachers. Okay, it's too hard to replace them, all right? And so talk about let's start at the top there with superintendent and teacher mental health. Are you working with that and then go into student mental health? I think it's fascinating. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Larry. Yes, we are. With our superintendents, we talk about it monthly. We have experts that come in and work with our school superintendents. Again, we've done book studies. We found that networking and having a place to talk has been very important. So we started, again, the pandemic helped us to start teacher groups in many different genres, mental health. And we get our counselors together and give them tips and strategies to teach to the adults about mental health. And we have some programs that provide services to mental health during in-service days and so on. But really, it's an ongoing relationship piece. And we are certainly seeing the stress of, virtual learning, e-learning days, the stress of dealing with students with higher mental health needs, the stress of broadband, transportation, all those things are certainly leading to issues with teacher retention.
It's brutal, and it's just, and as I say, you know, and I don't know what the situation is out there, okay, but across the country, okay, we have to make sure that our teachers, we don't lose any great teachers, okay? It's just brutal out there, and I have to say something. I just want to say this about the superintendents. That is a very isolated job, all right? And there has been terrible challenges in that area, and a lot of them have left, okay? And we have to find great people to fill those shoes, and it's not an easy job, and the fact that you're putting together help for them, and I mean that sincerely, is extremely important because stable leadership and healthy leadership leads to better teacher retention, better educators up and down the line. Okay, if you're constantly replacing leaders, you're going to have trouble down the line. All right, because there's no rhyme or reason to what you're doing. There's no plan in there. So I think what you're doing is absolutely excellent. All right, what are you doing for the students? How's that working out? Jeremy, and I imagine, you know, there's some pressure right there. You've got a lot of rural districts. And too few school counselors. What's going on with that, and how's the co-op working on it?
Yeah, again, beyond partnership with our teachers and our superintendents, we do have a program. We use the e-therapy program. Some of our school districts do have AES program you mentioned. We also have a statewide partner who's just fantastic. And again, this is kind of about access and equity, right? There are more resources sometimes available. Of course, there's more kids in metro areas, but there's also more resources. But we partnered with an organization called Empower You, and we use this program with our school districts.
Them.
Many of our school districts use this program with using dollars, you know, from the federal government for aid for mental health to help students build resilience every day. And it's an online course with embedded coaching. It helps students, teachers, and families decrease anxiety, improve mental health, and it's a program we're very proud of. And again, for us, as well as the program, it's about that teacher-student relationship and that group that makes kids feel safe. It lets them deal with their own humility. You know, we know that there's nothing that can beat a great principal in a school and a great teacher in a classroom.
Boy, that's for sure. And, you know, I have to ask, you must be hearing this. The teachers have all been trained in their subject area, or they're trained for professional development. You know, how are they doing teaching and working in social-emotional learning? What are you hearing back from them?
Yeah, that's funny. We're just we're working on a big summer seminar in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, which is a beautiful area, and that's all focused on social-emotional learning. And you're right, Larry. I've been in this position 16 years, and for the first, you know, 10 or 11, 12 years, it was about math content, reading content, a new reading series, social studies standards, pillars of education.
Yes.
Now we talk about pillars of mental health, pillars of social and emotional learning, much, much more. We provide very little professional development on math content standards right now. Maybe unfortunately, but frankly, we are providing most of our PD and most of our work with teachers and students is in social, emotional, and mental health.
Right. That's one of the more amazing statements. We were all trained in our area, and look where it's all shifted over. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what teachers have to do and what we ask schools to do. All right, it's just absolutely astounding, and thank God they got groups like yours, Jeremy, to handle all this. And I just read this. You're also legislative chairperson for the Minnesota Services Cooperative. That means you must go to St. Paul a lot and argue and stand up there. What are you doing with that legislation? What do you do? Talk to me about that. The legislation.
Yeah. So the Minnesota Service Cooperatives, the nine educational service agencies in Minnesota that are members of Jones Organization, AESA, we work together with our legislature on initiatives that try to help schools and, again, ensure equity across Minnesota. That's always our line.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do. I will say, Larry, we have a lobbyist that works with us that is fantastic. So he does.
Oh, cool.
He gets
good.
All the credit. I'm just the behind-the-scenes guy.
that's so interesting, you know, and really it's just – at some point that when you you must know this, you know, when you it's always easy for a legislator, state representative, federal, whatever, to say, oh, I'm all in favor of great education. And they actually don't know what the hell they're talking about, okay, when they say that, but it sounds good. How is the Minnesota legislature doing in terms of what we really need out there? What's your feeling on that?
No. Yeah, you know, I think the I think, you know, like all of us, they're struggling to decide what's important, where our resources should be allocated. They understand we've got teacher shortage. I will say that our legislature in Minnesota, you know, our test scores, and Minnesota is known as an education state. Our test scores are among the highest in the country, and I give that a credit to a lot of people, including the legislature, for funding our schools. But it's always a battle, right? Teacher retention is a real problem.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard. Superintendents, school leaders, principals, and teachers are very bright, very well educated, very competent. I mean, they sell every day, right?
They
sure love
do.
Kids, but they sell every day. And in this era of job shortages that are universal, essentially, right? Boy, our teachers and school leaders, they're well sought after for other jobs. And so
keeping them in school means
making sure their mental health and their passion is there.
Boy, you got that. You nailed that exactly right. We got to keep the best and the brightest in the schools. We just do. I mean, it's that simple, and they're great at what they do. I got to tell you, Jeremy, this is great. You do a good job out there, my friend. Okay, 16 years, huh? Boy, it's terrific. I got to tell you, thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, sir.
And you haven't aged a bit. Not a gray hair on your head, right?
I won't say anything about hair color, man. No.
We'll move on.
I've just got a few. I'm hanging in there.
And keep them, retain them. Speaking of retention, retain them. Okay? Do what you can. Now you're doing a wonderful job out there. Joan, this was just great at the end. Joan Wade.
Larry, you were breaking up when I heard you, so I didn't get the question, but I will tell you that I am once again very proud of the work that our members do in meeting the needs of schools and the students that the schools serve. And it's unique in Minnesota in that they not only work with schools, but oftentimes they're working with counties and other units of government to provide services. So it's a great opportunity to continue to network and do the best that we can on behalf of kids.
Right. My question was, can you sum it up, what you just did? And I loved what you said at the beginning of the show, that the purpose of an ESA, no matter what they're called, is to provide equitable education across the board. Okay? And that's what you folks do, I got to tell you.
Indeed.
Think it's wonderful.
Indeed. And, Larry, I want to thank you for helping us to get the word out about the good work that our folks are doing, and you're always so gracious about sharing your time with us. So we appreciate that, too.
Thank you. Joan, it's my honor and my pleasure to do it. It's always great to have you here, and I just love counting about what you guys do. So, okay, so thank you very much for that nice compliment. I appreciate it. All right, and we have to leave. On that note, counting me, we will leave. Okay, so I thank you, Jeremy, and I thank you, Joan. You guys are great. Thanks a million, both of you.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jeremy Kovash. Jeremy is at Lakes Country Service Co-op in West Central Minnesota and on the Executive Council for AESA at AESA.us. And if you don't know about the power of ESAs or whatever they're called in their area, check it out. And AESA.us is the place to go. And Joan Wade is their executive director. We believe in equity and access, too. So that's what we do. So please go over to ace-ed.org. Check out what we're doing in teacher retention and administrator retention in SEL. And on the equity side, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.